able to stand here in Mawson and preach the gospel. First place that I ever got to preach. And I've been really blessed. I want to preach on something today that it's a message of salvation. How do you get that message? And y'all pray for me. Pray for God's anointing this morning. I just start by saying that the biggest part of ministry, any ministry, is taking self out of the way. I think that's the biggest problem that a man deals with is self. And sharing God with somebody, when God first called me, you got to understand when God calls somebody, that's probably a time when you are the closest to God as you'll ever be. Even your own wife. I remember when God was calling me to preach that I couldn't even tell my wife for 2 or 3 months what was going on, but she, you know, I guess she thought I was going off. I'd be out there on the porch and in the swing crying, and I didn't want to preach. I can't explain it. I think anybody that's truly called, you know what I'm talking about. But this message of salvation, there's many places in the Bible that God wants us to see, to understand, and about how to lead someone to Christ. He tells us the issues that we're going to run into, and if you want to be turning to Acts 26 this morning, that's where I'm going to be, Acts 26. And this is about Paul speaking to Agrippa, King Agrippa. God told us something here in the 18th verse of 26 that I want people to see. I'm going to start at 12. But understand something this morning. You can't force salvation down anybody's soul. It just don't work that way. And through the school of hard knocks, going into the jails and on fire for God and preaching just as hard as I could preach, to the point where I remember Brother Kelsey laughing at me one Thursday evening late, about 11 o'clock, coming out of the jail. They allowed us to be in there. We had 40-something men at times in that jail. And I would come out of there and I'd have steam coming off of me. It was cold outside in the middle of wintertime. And Kelsey just laughed, said, "Brother, you're a little heated, ain't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm excited." But when you're on fire for God, if you ain't real careful, you inject too much self in your message. It sounds like you're mad at the world sometimes. And any preacher, I want you to understand that they don't mean to sound that way. It's just the excitement of wanting to share what God has done for you with someone else. And you got to go to school. You got to learn how to give that message. And I explain it in one way like this. You're dealing with the blind. They're completely blind to what the message that you have. And let me ask you a question. If you're blind, if I put you up here in front of the church and I put some chairs and things in the way in the middle of the aisle right there, and you can see it, and then all of a sudden I blindfold you and you're blind, had you rather me pull you, lead you through those obstacles, or had you rather me push you through it? That's the difference. Lost people can't be pushed. It ain't going to happen. You can't push people into Jesus Christ. They have to be led. And the one thing that people see in you is if you have God in you, they will see that service. People they have the ability to read. And the first word you ever say to somebody, they automatically begin to read you. And I want to tell you, you can't share Jesus with somebody unless he's living in you. And you have that meekness and humbleness that comes with being a child of God. And it's not always easy. Paul started out taking people to jail and beating them because they didn't believe the way he did. And Paul had to be blinded. This is his testimony that I want to read to you this morning. If you will, I'm going to ask you to stand because I'm going to read quite a bit right here from verse 12 and 19. But let's reverence God in our heart. Go ahead and stand there. That'd be good. Let's reverence God this morning. The Bible says in chapter 26 of Acts, and we'll start with verse 12, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and all those things in the which I will appear unto thee. He said, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Now verse 18 is where I want to take my text this morning. You need to pay close attention to this because I believe this is one place in the Bible where we can see a blueprint for leading souls to Christ. Paul, Jesus said here, this is, if you have a red letter edition, this will be in the red letter. It says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, the light, and from the power of Satan unto God, and they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us to be in the house this morning, your house. I thank you, God, for the way, God, that you use your children. I'm thankful to be your servant this morning. I'm thankful for my service, God, that it's not that I have to go and I have to do. I get to go and I get to do. I'm very thankful for that this morning, thankful for my family, the things that I have, my church family. And God, what a blessing it is to be here this morning. I thank you for your mercy and your grace, the things of the cross, God, that are always deep, deep in my soul. And I thank you for the souls that I've seen saved, God, in my years of service. Nothing that I have done, nothing. God, I thank you for the cross that I get to share with others, that my Savior hang on that cross that I might have everlasting life. I have the joy no matter what. And that's what I want to give to others. And God, that have been brought up hard, that have a hard time getting past the light of the world into the light of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all you're going to do. We give you all the honor and the glory and praise. And we pray for those that might be lost and undone here this morning, God, that you'd see them, allow them to see the saving grace of Jesus Christ and have faith in him and what he's done on Calvary's cross. We're going to love you and thank you. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Yes, I get to go into a place and they'll lock me in a room with a few good men. And I want to tell you this morning, I didn't expect to see everybody in orange. But I'll tell you something, we're all wearing it. Everybody here. I don't care how high on the tree you think you are. The only thing that'll cover your orange is the blood of Jesus Christ. The one thing about ministry is putting yourself on a level playing ground. Sometimes, and I've done it many times, when I'm in a jail, I will get down on my knees and preach. I don't want to be looking down over. I don't want to make it seem like that I'm higher than anybody in that place, because I know where I came from. And I could have been there if not dead. That's what I think about all the time. If it hadn't have been for what Christ done for me, I would have been one of those men. If it hadn't have been for His life being shown to me. And I want to tell you something. As Paul said right here, when he seen the light, that blinding light that actually did blind him. Sometimes we can get ourselves so much in the way that we have to be blinded. We have to be brought down to the ground in order that we can see. And that's for a lot of people, that's hard. And you cannot do it unless you really understand who Christ is. Now, there's five things in this verse that we need to see in verse 18. To open their eyes, to open the eyes of the blind. It says to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. Now, open their eyes will be the first one. Open their eyes to what? To who Jesus Christ is. Again, they can't be pushed. They have to be led. And the best witness you have is yourself. If I come up, Dinah's going to play the devil's advocate this morning. If I come up to her and I said, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell if you don't get right with God. That's probably not going to be accepted the way I want it to be accepted, although it be the truth. The way I try to do, I start out, there's the verse over in Genesis. It says that chapter 1 and verse 26, I believe it is, where God says, let us make men in our image. Let us make man in our image. There's a part of you that's just like God. Now, and it's not the body, it's the soul. And everybody here, if you get on an airplane and there's 200 people on the airplane, they don't say 200 people, they say 200 souls. Why is our soul likened to God? You ever ask yourself that question? What is it about our soul that's likened to God? I mean, it's like Him even when we're lost. You know what it is? It's immortal. You see, your body's going to die. The wages of sin's death. Your body will die. If the Lord don't come back and you're saved and you're raptured up, you are going to go in that ground or be burned or whatever it is you have it set up to be done. But your soul is eternal. It's going to spend eternity somewhere. 100%. Nobody's out of that. We're all going to go somewhere and we're all going to live for eternity. The soul, that part of you, and soul and spirit. Now, there's a lot of theology that goes with soul and spirit. But I'm just for the sake of preaching this morning, if you want to call it spirit, call it spirit. If you want to call it soul, call it soul. I'm telling you, 100% of us have one. 100% of us are going somewhere. The question is, where are you going? So we have to open their eyes. And we have to allow them to see the predicament that we're in. If you turn to Corinthians this morning, I think it is, 4, 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians, excuse me. 2 Corinthians, and you might not, I got a lot of scripture here. If you can't turn with me that fast, just allow me to read it this morning. I promise you I'm reading it out of a King James Bible. The Bible says in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, in verse 3, but if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You remember, they can't see this, they're blind. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, that's important, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, they're lost and they're blinded. And what does it say? In whom the God of this world, not talking about God the God, our God, Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy, the God of this world, Satan. He blinds to the light of God's Word. Again, if we go in forceful, if we go in any other way than a servant of Jesus Christ, a servant of the cross, let me allow you to see something right here. Y'all remember when Peter was on fire for God, and we've been, Brother Charlie had been teaching a wonderful a series on Wednesday night. And shame on you if you're missing it. It's good. But we're talking about all the disciples. And Peter was headstrong. And God was telling the disciples the things which must come about him having to die for a lost and dying world. And it don't say it like that. But Peter rebuked him. Now, wait a minute. He took him off the side and said, now, wait a minute. You can't do that. You're the King of Kings. You can't do this. What did he tell Peter? Get behind me, Satan. You know why? Because Peter, like most all people, thinks that the King of Kings ought to be royalty up here. Nothing can happen to him. But that wasn't God's way. God's way is the servant. That he must die for people. And until you're ready to do that, you'll never see a child saved. You'll never see anybody in your ministry saved until you're ready to be the servant that'll die for that person. When I was saved as a young boy, it was kind of a little rough at home. My mother and father loved me. We had a love relationship, but the things that we wasn't in church. And I seen a fussing and a fighting a whole lot. We'd sit down at a meal most of the times and nobody held hands, nobody prayed. But I befriended a little old boy. And when I went to his house, they held hands and they prayed over their food. And his daddy was always reading the Bible. What a witness. Did they preach anything down my throat? They never said a word. But I was watching. And I got to weighing things. I got to weighing what was going on at my house and what was going on at theirs. And it wasn't a hard question to answer. What's the difference? Not only did they do that in front of me, they'd always come and pick me up and take me to church. That's the difference. They were a family of service. They didn't push. They led. I can't get that across enough. In your ministry, you got to lead. A lot of times, leading don't have anything to do with saying anything. Because believe me, they're watching you. They're watching everything you do. If you want to ask anybody what a Baptist ought to be, don't go to the Baptist church. Go out here and ask the world out here in the lost. They'll tell you exactly what a Baptist member of a Baptist church should be. They're perfect in every way. You know, they have to be perfect. And we all know we can't be that, can we? If you're going to be a servant of God, sometimes you're going to have to crawl on your belly. You're going to have to come in under the radar. It can't be about you. It has to be about them. That's the difference between that Peter had felt at the time when he told Christ, you can't do this. And Peter, after God had done what he done on Calvary's cross and come back to Peter. Peter had already denied him three times. But it was a different Peter after they went to the upper room. And the Holy Spirit comes down and starts dealing with you inside. You'll love more people to Jesus than you will making accusations and tell them all about what they're doing wrong. Now, I'm not saying when you read the Bible, you can tell real quick we're always wrong and he's always right. All I'm saying is you can't lead people to Christ unless, number one, you got a good testimony about how you got saved. Paul here, he's spilling his heart out to Agrippa. You know what Agrippa says? Everybody in this house ought to know. almost thou persuadest me. That's pretty disappointing, isn't it? You know how many times I've heard that? Not necessarily in those words, but how many times, how many inmates I see go out the door saying, "Preacher, I'm going to be in church. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's going to be this way next time. I'll never go back to the drugs. I'll never go back to the drinking. Everything's going to be okay." And I know in my heart, boy, that's a lie. But when I see them going out of the jail, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I need help. I can't fix this." And I said, "Son, you're already on the right track. You're already 50% ahead of everybody else. That's where we have to be. Nobody in the house will ever be saved till you get to that point. I can't fix me." See, I couldn't fix me either. Paul couldn't fix Agrippa. And Jesus knew that him being a servant and going to the cross was the only thing that would fix Peter. He wasn't talking directly to Peter. He was talking to the Satan that was in Peter. We're all born that way, by the way. We're born with a sin seed. We're born with a nature to sin. Nobody, again, we're all 100%. We're all wearing orange here. And nobody hates orange as much as I do. I always tell them sports fans, if your blood's orange, you're going to die. It's the royal blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Has to be a lamb. It's got to be the lamb. And there's no way to be saved unless you make him your lamb. And if you really have, there's going to be an application. Ephesians 4:18. He said, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." You know, it's really a proud thing to just walk into somewhere and think that you're going to throw a Bible at somebody or give them everything you know in that book or throw it at them. It's really ignorance to believe that that right there is going to lead somebody to Christ. There's some hard cases out here. And I've seen times when I just shook my head and I said, "God, this is more than me." And I get this little small still voice in the back of my soul right there that says, "It's about time I heard you say that." That's when you're going to get ahead of things. Is when you get yourself down here where you belong and let God take over. It's hard to do, folks. This ain't something that's easy to do. You can't, and I believe every preacher in his ministry will run into this. Every soul winner in their ministry will run into this. But when you take self out of the way, I hope God just takes over this morning, because I don't think I can deliver this message the right way to get you to understand self has to go by the wayside. I don't go to jail on Tuesday nights and Sundays for the payment. It don't pay nothing. I was condemned to jail for the rest of my life. I tell inmates all the time, "I'll be here when you're long gone." And that's the truth. I don't go because I want to. I go because I have to. Now, it might get a time sometimes when good sheriffs will always let you in the jailhouse. But there's going to be a time, I'm sure, when they say, "No, you can't come in here." I have preached through bean holes. Y'all may not know what that is, but it's a little bitty square holes in a door. And they had a problem at Towns County. Brand new jail. The jail hadn't been in existence for about a year and a half. Somebody had already drilled a hole through the on an outside wall, had a pencil tied to a string, and was running drugs in and out of jail through that little hole. Jail hadn't been there a year and a half. Sheriff says, "I'll fix this. I'll shut God and everybody else out." He figured by the Bibles that we were bringing in had drugs in them. It's always going to be the godly people that gets blamed for whatever. Remember, we're not of the world, but we're in it. So make a long story short, we can't preach to women, but when we were preaching through that beanhole, we were out in the center of the cells, and now all the women, because I preach loud, buddy, especially in jail. The echoes off them walls sounds good. But the women were getting to hear the ministry too. They were women getting saved off hearing preachers when they were preaching through the beanhole, because we was out there in the center where all the cells, all the pods were getting to hear preaching. God always works when you think he ain't working. Me and Brother Ronnie and Brother Kelsey, Brother English, all of us was fussing. How in the world are we going to share the gospel through a beanhole? Boy, God showed up and showed out. You ever been looking through a beanhole preacher and have four or five people down on their knees inside a cell, you couldn't even touch their hands, down on their knees praying for salvation? Through a beanhole. See, it ain't us. It never has been about us. It's about what God does when you think he ain't doing anything. But what if I decided, well, because they're going to make us preach through beanholes, forget that jail, I'm going down the road. See, service don't ever stop. Service, you want to go. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all on the same playing field. We all have the same issues. What is the wage of sin? You gotta show them. You gotta begin to break through the blindness. What is our predicament? Well, we're all sinners. What's the problem with sin? Well, the wage of sin is death. What's the fix? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now you're dealing. Something else I had to learn in the ministry was, brother, you ain't preaching the Baptist anymore. You see, everybody in jail's got an affiliation. I didn't realize that. But if Grandpa was a Baptist, so were they. Grandpa was a Catholic, so were they. If Grandpa was Pentecostal, so were they. You go into jail sometimes and preach eternal salvation, and you might get spit on a few times. I have been. If you didn't do anything for salvation, what can you do to lose it? I didn't hang on the cross for my salvation. I didn't earn it in any way. I can't. You ask anybody that believes that they can lose their salvation the one question: if you didn't do anything to earn it, what can you do to lose it? If you didn't pay the price for that death penalty, how in the world can you lose it? Jesus Christ don't take the blood back. And there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible that people will misinterpret. A lot of them. I think about the song Amazing Grace. I was blind, but now I see. Remember that. Let's go back over here to Acts just a minute. The next one. To turn them from darkness to the light. Now we've opened their eyes, and now we need to turn them from their darkness. I think of Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How can that be if we don't know the word? If it's a lamp to my feet, the scripture that every step I take, Satan's out there to attack me, every step. But my path is, it's got a light way out there. I can see in the future. What's going on today, God's lit it up for tomorrow. I'm in a terrible pain, and everything about me's hurting right now. Most inmates, that's always the story. I mean, it's the worst time in their life. They're incarcerated. They can't go anywhere. Their families, 9 times out of 10, are suffering because of their being an idiot. Everybody suffers when somebody gets locked up. Taxpayers suffer when people get locked up. You didn't know that, but we're paying for it. Nobody wins. But if I can just share Jesus Christ with one of them and change one soul in 2001 till now, been a long time in jail. But one soul being changed would be worth it all. And I've got to see many. I thank God every day. You don't know what it really means to see somebody saved out of something like that. It's one thing to see young people and old people like come to an altar and get saved in church. But when you witness that happen to some young man, that his life is headed nowhere, and he gets a hold of Christ and it's real, and you see him go outside and meet him years later with his little family in tow right there, and everybody's blessed. I'm in church, preacher. Everything's good. God has blessed me so much. It's worth it all. Somebody done it for me when I was little. Although I wasn't in jail, I could have been. And I'll spend the rest of my life trying to do it for somebody else, because Jesus Christ done it for me. You got to turn them from the darkness. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes a darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You got to walk the talk. Nobody can see a fake better than an inmate. Nobody. They're professionals at that. They're professionals at living a lie. I remember one time over in Union County, some lawyer had been to the jail over there. And that's when, right when revival, I don't have time to tell all the story about, I'll tell little pieces of it. A young man that said he walked with the devil, Tomedius, got saved in jail over there. And there was 43 that night out there on that concrete. I've never seen this in a church, but we had 100% in an altar. 100%, the whole church. I mean, I've seen preachers beg and plead, and I've seen a lot of people in an altar, and I've probably seen altars with more than 43 in it, but I've never seen the benches emptied. Nobody out there, everybody here, nobody was begging. I remember crying while I was preaching. I remember Brother Kelsey. Brother Kelsey's knees was this big around, always swelled up, always hurting. Brother Kelsey got that on his knees. He said, "Brother, you're going to have to help me up, but I thank God I got down here." 43 men. And I don't know how many got saved that night, but Tomedius was one of them. And he was looking at a lot of years. Man told me he walked with the devil. But we give him the scripture. And he'd come to me weeks later after, after all his escapades with the devil and the darkness, and he began to get quiet. And he would come and ask me a question after the service about a certain part of Scripture. And nobody in there had a pen, but he said, "Preacher, would you underline this for me?" And I'd underline it for him, and he'd study on it, and I'd tell him to pray. And I can remember when it first started, Brother Kelsey said, "We need to get them to keep him out. He's disrupting the service." And I said, "No, I had a burden that's so bad, it was hurting me on the inside." That was me I was looking at right there. It wasn't somebody else out on the street. It wasn't somebody I didn't know. It wasn't somebody with ugly tattoos all over their face and big holes in their ears and all this things that he'd done to his body. That's a soul right there. And that soul needs to be led to Christ and has the right to be led to Christ more than anybody else in the world. They just need Jesus. They need a little bit of light. And if they can't see it in me, and all the times that young man would stand up and say, "I walk with the devil." And I met him over at the gas station. He said, God didn't get me out. I hollered out, I said, "Hey, Tomedius, the Lord bless you and got you out of jail." He didn't get me out of jail. I got myself out. I seen that old pride come right back out because he was back out on the street. It's always different on the street than it is in jail. 3 or 4 weeks later, he's back. And few weeks after that, that's when revival broke out in Union County Jail. And that lawyer comes in that jail, says, yeah. So they come in here and they get Jesus, and when they walk out of the sally port, they leave him right there. Boy, that just chapped my hide. He knew it upset me, but I didn't let it know. I said, God bless you. God wants to save you too. You always got to give them loving kindness, don't matter what. Darkness don't feed light. Light feeds darkness. You'll get that in a minute. You got to be some light. 1 Peter, if I can get there. 1 Peter 2:9. Look what the Bible says. For ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Praise God. I'm glad he called me out. Which in time past were not a people, but are now a people of God, and had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We're a peculiar people. We're not supposed to fit in. Dinah and I just come back from the Dominican Republic. She works with a bunch of party people. They love alcohol. They like lots of it. And I dealt with that in my company. When I'm in that element, buddy, I am a peculiar person. I remember one time in Dallas, Texas, one of them big motels down there. I call it the Glass House, their big office. And open bar. Had all these little round tables, stand-up tables. And what they want you to do, they want you to go around with a drink in your hand, and you talk to other managers and other district managers and vice presidents and this and that, and you socialize with them. So I'd go get me a little Diet Coke, and I'd get at my table. I'd go stand, and there'd be some around there drinking, and I didn't want to run nobody off, but I wouldn't stand there 5-10 minutes. They'd be whispering. I'd be looking around. I'd sit there by that table by myself. There's a price to be paid to be a peculiar person. You can't act like the crowd just because you're having to work with them. You have to be different. But I promise you this, my witness was being used. I had people, I had one young man over here. I won't mention his name. He's another manager, another counterpart of mine. From what I understand, before when he went to those parties, he was one of them. He drank just like they did. But when I was there, things changed. And another manager down here in Murphy was making fun of this one over here because he wouldn't drink. You know why he wouldn't drink? I was there. He told me he was a Christian. I do this. He's a treasurer in the church. He was, you know, for years. Probably still is. I don't know. But they would play one against another. But when I'm around, everybody would disperse. I was by myself. You know what I'd say? I'd sit there and pray. I'd say, God, let them see Jesus in me. I'm not going to stand there and bark, you keep doing that drinking, you keep doing that partying, you're going to die and go to hell. That ain't the way to do it. Let them see your witness. Live Jesus Christ before lost men. Bring light into darkness. You turn them from darkness to the light. Look at verse 3. I've got to get along here. We've got to get fast up here a little bit. The next one, from darkness to light, then it says, and from the power of Satan unto God. How do you do that? John 8:32. Let's turn there just a minute. There's a lot of scripture involved in this, a lot of research. John 8:32. And it's going to lead to verse 4. I'm going to read verse 44 first. 8:44. Ye are of the father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You got to reveal who Satan is. If you want to deliver somebody from the power of Satan, you got to put some light on him. Say, preacher, how do you do all this in one little visit for somebody? It won't take just one visit sometimes. It might take 50 visits. You can't never get up. What do you do between visits? Well, you got to pray. I can tell you right now, sometimes a child of God can do more on their knees in prayer in the prayer closet alongside the bed somewhere with you and God, and there ain't nobody else. You can do more there than you can pointing a finger. Pray that somebody else, and I know this from my own experience, family is the hardest people to lead to Christ. You need intervention sometimes. My past. Sometimes people that know my past get past that. Although they should be able to see Jesus Christ in me, it might be my past that keeps me from leading them to Christ. So I have to pray, and I might have to pray for intervention. I said, God, put somebody in their path that knows Jesus Christ. Somebody else that can bear witness with this person. God always has the right one in the right place at the right time. It's the blueprint. It's talking about Abraham's true descendants right here, and how these Jews believe that their father was Abraham. Well, in reality, in the body, he was. But God's trying to bring them into the true light, the light of Jesus Christ, the true. We have to let go of that father and have the spiritual father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You just don't do something like that overnight sometimes. Sometimes somebody is already prepared. Somebody has already dropped a seed. Somebody's already plowed. And when you walk in, you might have the very word. If you speak from what God has given you, you might have the very word that leads that child to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people are plowers. Might be them hollering preachers that look really mad. You know, it might be them. There is a crew for that bunch too. God has the right, should have the right preacher in the right place at the right time. It's all about him. It's not about us. But he said, 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? How is that? How is it that ye shall be made free? What does the Bible say about truth? No. Don't say set you free. It says make you free. There is a difference. Make you free. When you share the truth with someone, the truth of God's word in your experience, if you're truly saved, and just leave it at that. Rely on God to do the rest. God saves, we share. He said, Jesus answered him, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There it is again. Two places in the Bible. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He's talking about wealth this morning. Nobody is wealthy without Christ. Matter of fact, there's some people up there in Washington, D.C. that still just on and on and on and on that will claim to be Christian. Lost as the day is long. Stealing taxpaying dollars and partying. And show them on TV all the time in hot tubs, and I'd never crawl in a hot tub when I was there. Ain't no way. I'm about nasty. But they're having a big time And they have no idea where they're headed. See, I love them too. I would witness to them the same way I do anybody else. They need the truth. They need to know who their Father is. He said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my Lord hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen of your father. You see, we get our sin seed from our father. They got their sin seed from Abraham, but they don't understand what he's talking about. You know why? Because they are blind. The one thing, the only thing, you need to go over there into 1 Corinthians and study the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, but the Word of God is a mystery to the lost. Calls it the natural man. When it says natural in the Bible or simple, it's talking about somebody that's lost. Or if it says heathen, we use it for a term to be stupid, but heathen means without God. We need to share Christ with them in love, the same way Jesus is doing here. These people are supposed to be educated in they're Jews. And they don't even understand what Christ is talking about here. They answered and said unto him, verse 39, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Who's he talking about? Satan. If you're lost, that's who your father is. If you're undone without God, your father is Satan. What about all the Christians out there in the world that are going there or call themselves Christian that are taking a different route? How do you deal with that? I'll tell you this. You deal with it a lot better on your knees than you can pointing a finger. It just don't work. I've got 16, 17 years of experience, and I've seen what pointing fingers does, and I've seen what service and love does. If there's no love, there's no salvation. What is love? Agape love. Well, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed, innocent blood, so that others might have eternal life. That's about as innocent as it gets. The Lamb of God. I'm telling you, it's not as easy. You know, people think, well, I'm saved, why can't I lead somebody to Christ? And you truly could be saved and very likely are saved. But if you don't never read and you don't never study, how in the world are you going to put, how are you going to have a lamp to your feet and light to your path? If you always relied on Brother Charlie or another preacher on Sunday to give you a message, and that's the only thing you do for God, you got trouble. If you're raising children today and you never open that book in front of them, I promise you down the road, you're going to have trouble. Children need to see Daddy and Mama in the altar. Children need to see Daddy and Mama at home reading Bible, Scripture. I'd give anything in the world if I could get my kids back to this point. Boy, I'd do it different. I mean, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't like to start over and do it a little bit different? When we get older, we get wiser, don't we? Going to the school of hard knocks. Mothers and fathers, I see it all the time. They will run their children off because of mom and daddy pointing that finger, and when they ought to be pointing two or three fingers back at themselves. It's my fault. Well, if it's my fault, it takes a study done one time, 6 generations sometime, a family that's been raised outside the church. One child gets saved, and it's 6 generations from that child till the family's in line with God. Now, I don't know, it must have took an awesome study for that. But you know how it gets stopped? The one that gets saved starts praying for all the past, all the filth in that family that's went on. God, forgive us. What did Job do for his kids? He offered a sacrifice for them. There has to be sacrifice for sin. Well, parent, you may be the sacrifice. You're going to have to spend some time in prayer. And you're dealing with the power of Satan. Receive forgiveness for sins. One, I read that a few minutes ago. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Tell a little story of Philemon. I'm gonna try to bring this to close. Philemon is the pronounced Hebrew. A lot of people call it Philemon, but it's Philemon. It was a man named Onesimus, and this man had run away. They claimed that he was a slave, and in his treks, when he got away from his bondment, he met Paul, and Paul had a big part in converting him, and now he was prosperous. He was even helping Paul in his ministry, but he knew after he had been brought to the light, after Onesimus had seen the light of God, he knew that he needed to go back to the people that had a bond on him and make an account for it. He wanted to go back. So Paul writes this letter, and that's what Philemon is. And Paul, in the end there, he said, whatever this man owes, what a picture of Christ here, whatever this man owes, put that on my account. You see, that service, that's being a servant for God. Put that on my account. Whatever my kids do, please put that on my account, Lord. It's not their fault. I made some mistakes, God, and I humbly ask you to forgive me, and I guarantee you God will. He's always good to forgive. People have all these, we all have these issues. You're not by yourself. Every family has these issues. Everybody wants to think, well, you know, he looks like he's got a corner on the market over there. They don't. They don't have a corner on the market. You know, and in the next part, they may receive forgiveness of sins. You know, some people can't forgive themselves. If God can forgive me, I've got to be able to forgive myself. God loves you. You got to be able to take your sins before Him. And you can't hide anything from God. I can't hide nothing from Him. None of my inmates can hide anything from God. We got to bring it to the open. I tell them all the time, I ain't telling you to incriminate yourself, but I can tell you this, if you're hiding a lie and you keep following that lie, it's going to take you deeper and keep you longer than you want to stay. The truth will make you free. The truth and I'm not talking about them telling the truth ain't what's going to set them free. But the truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That will make them free enough to where they'll tell the truth and their soul is set free. You can't live in a lie because you'll always be in bondage to that lie. And you'll tell another lie to cap that lie. Y'all know that story. I use this a lot. I'm gonna close with this. There was a cave that had this big wolf in it. And there were some little animals that would walk outside. The wolf is getting old in age. And the little rabbit comes by in front of that cave. And he asked the wolf, hollered out there, "Hey, come on in here, rabbit, and talk to me a little while." The rabbit says, "I ain't coming in there. You'll eat me." Rabbit said, "I ain't coming." Wolf says, "Oh, come on, I'm old. I ain't hardly got any teeth anymore." Remember the wolf's nature, okay? A wolf has a nature. What is it? You got to remember that. And the wolf kept going back to the rabbit. Oh, I'm too old. I'm over that. I don't need anything to eat. I just want somebody to talk to. Rabbit goes in there, gobble, gobble. Eats him up. Squirrel comes by. Took a little more persuading. But the wolf, you got to remember the wolf's nature. I'm too old. I ain't going to eat you. Come on in and talk to me a little while. I'm just lonely. I need a friend. You know how many of them inmates seen a friend that was still living wrong, and they went back to that friend because, maybe I can share Jesus with him, and they're not strong enough yet. They get back there, and that wolf grabs them again. You know how many times that happens? Over and over and over. But the rabbit, the squirrel just kept on and on and on, back and forth, back and forth. The wolf cried out, come on in here, and he finally overcomes him, and squirrel goes in there, gobble, gobble. But a possum comes along. Possum is kind of a contradiction right here, but he's got a little bit of light in him. And he comes by, and the old wolf says, come on in and talk to me a little while. And old possum says, I ain't coming in there. Wolf says, oh, don't believe everything you hear. Come on in here. I'm old. I ain't got no teeth anymore. I don't eat animals anymore. I'm done with all that. Possum says, I ain't coming in there. Why not? Why won't you come in here? Because I see all tracks going your way and nothing's coming back out. He had a little bit of education. And if you ain't reading this right here, you ain't got no education. You can't rely on a little preaching on Sunday and a little teaching on Sunday night. You need to open this thing on your own, inside your house. Dwell in the Word of God. And if you want your light to shine, you got to have some light. And a lot of times, you won't get it no other way but reading the Word of God and praying over it. You have never accomplished anything in life. No amount of money you can make, no matter how big your house is or how clean it is and how pretty your yard is and all these things and how big your boat and how many fish you can catch out of that boat, it don't matter. I like those things. But I'm going to tell you this. Nothing in the world is like seeing someone come to Jesus Christ right in front of your eyes. Nothing is like, ain't nothing in the world like that. Especially when you see somebody from the background and the lifestyle of the people that I see. It's wonderful in the church house. It's really wonderful to see a young child come to God before they get to up there to age where they want to go out here and be a hellion. But I'm going to tell you this. If you don't pick, even though that child is saved, if you don't teach it some of this, if you don't instill it in their hearts, and you send them out here to these liberal colleges that don't know nothing about the Word of God, you might get something back that you ain't proud of. Now, and what I'm talking about is the misery you're going to see that child go through, because I truly believe if that child asks Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins and ask God to come in their heart, they are saved. But there's nothing worse than living outside the will of God. It's 10,000 times worse being a child of God and out of his will than it is being lost out there in the world. Because they know no shame. They know no light. Sanctified by faith. Last one. Among them which are sanctified by faith. Sanctified. Covered in blood. Both lintels of the heart. Upper doorpost of the heart, covered in blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. When you see somebody get saved, you know what you get to see? The weight of the world comes off of them. You don't see happy. What you see is joy. Happy, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's a moment in time. Joy is forever. You can have joy even when you have a sorrow in your life. The joy is still there. Joy never leaves. Joy is deep in the soul, a soul that God pays for. Do you have that this morning? The message of salvation is the same it's always been in the beginning. Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. I asked Him to forgive me and to save me. I bring up the old boy on the cross there beside God. He was railing on Jesus the same way the other one was. But a moment in time in his life, he looked at Jesus Christ and he verbally asked Jesus, "Would you remember me in thy kingdom?" The sentence before that was, "He don't deserve this. He's not like us." That's an admission of guilt. That's repentance. And then he said, "Would you remember me in thy kingdom?" What did Christ say? He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He never went to church. He never got dunked. All these are things that need to be done after salvation. But this thief, the Bible don't bear out that he ever done anything right, except realize who Christ was and ask him to remember him. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever had that one-on-one conversation with God? I can tell you this. If you haven't, you're not saved. If everybody was asked, let me ask you a question, and I'm going to bring it close. Y'all come and get ready to play something. Is there anybody here, if you was asked point blank about your testimony? Preacher, what is that? Your testimony is what? How God saved you. Where were you at when God saved you? A lot of people believe that some preacher done this to them, or a priest done this to them. They were sprinkled. They were done this too. My mom and daddy took me to church. You know, I was raised in church. It's me, they. But they never honestly, on their knees, asked God to forgive them of their sins and ask him to save them. This is a personal decision. That's why when children come to an altar, Brother Charlie, myself, somebody needs to speak to that child, even if you're saved, and let them explain to you what it means to be saved. Because there's a lot of people out here in the world that think the things that they're doing or the things that somebody else done got them right with God. That's the lie that Satan has sowed for many, many years. Salvation is personal. It's between you and Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you this. When God saves you, you'll know it. You'll know in your heart it's eternal. I've seen too many of these people tell me that they can lose their salvation. And when they still believe that, I believe this with all my heart. I'll tell this to Radio Land out there, whoever's listening. If you believe that you can lose your salvation, I don't believe you've got it. I honestly don't think if you believe you can lose your salvation, you don't understand it. You didn't buy anything. You didn't wrap it up in a gift box and give it to yourself. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you that you might have eternal life. All he asks is that you believe on him, that you believe on the Father, that you believe that that blood paid your sin debt. And when that happens, and you know you're guilty, you ask God to forgive you. And you say, "Remember me in thy kingdom, Lord." God will save you. Have you ever done that? That's what salvation is. Now, I can't come back there and push you up here to the altar. But I guarantee you one thing. If you're sitting here and you're lost, you'll never forget I said that. Because my Bible says that God's word will not go void. You read that scripture I just gave you, you go over there to Acts 25, and you look over that when you get home from church, and you read it right down there where Jesus said himself those five things that had to take place. The darkness has to be brought to light. There's nothing the joy will bring you is letting all that worldly stuff go and say, "Jesus, would you be mine?" Nothing. Let's all stand. Thank you.